Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Warning, this podcast contains explicit language like shit and fuck.
Today's episode of The Scathing Atheist is brought to you by the new television network ESPN Jew, featuring Hall of Fame sportscasters Marv Albert, Chris Berman, Howard Cosell, Marty Glickman, and Al Michaels narrating an endless loop of Sandy Koufax highlights with occasional snippets of disgraced steroid-abusing Brewer outfielder Ryan Braun. ESPN Jew, because seriously, it's Koufax and Bears punter Adam Podlesch. And now, The Scathing Atheist.
Storms and hurricanes and unimaginable murders and mass murders and all of that doesn't just happen.
It doesn't just happen. A door has been opened and we have said, you know, we embrace a wicked policy. Okay, then I'll take my hand of protection off your nation and whap.
Hey, I'm Remy G, and I run a Facebook page called Fuck Your Fucking God, You Ignorant, Blinded, Dumb Fuck. And I'm here to tell you we did, in fact, evolve from filthy monkey men.
It's November 7th.
And Brandon Lee died because someone filled in the blank.
I'm No Illusions.
I'm Heath Enright.
And from post-Bloombergian New York, New York, this is The Scathing Atheist.
On this week's episode, we'll refresh you with some thinking man's abortion jokes.
The Jews will continue to have not murdered Jesus.
And we do an entire segment on Pennsylvania schools without a single Sandusky joke.
But first, the diatribe. I do retractions at the end of the show, but this week we've got one that I wanted to put right up front. The atheist blogosphere was abuzz all week last week with stories about a Polish girl who committed suicide to be with her father in heaven. It was all over social media all week, complete with vigilant Jesus defenders trying to theologically justify it. Heath and I reported on it as well, and the day that episode was released, we immediately started seeing the retractions. Turns out the original story came from a tabloid paper, and the more vigilant reporters weren't unable to confirm any of the details of the story. It almost certainly never happened. But even before that news came out, there was a bit of internal conflict about running with this news item. Even when I didn't doubt the veracity of the story, I was still hesitant to include it in our headline segment. Now, part of my resistance stems from the fact that I'm nowhere near as comfortable as my co-host with the prospect of making jokes about a suicidal elementary schooler, but part of it was simply the extreme nature of the story. I mean, it's not like there's a rash of theologically inspired preteen suicides or anything. Even if this did happen, it was an extreme isolated incident. So when Heath brought up the story, I originally objected to it. I explained my objections, and he reasoned me out of them. And what's more, the reasons that convinced me to run the story are still valid, even if the story's bullshit. You see, this story was so appealing to atheists not because they believe that this is some inevitable consequence of religion, but because it offered a case study in one of the many theological pretzels that comes with the whole afterlife concept. Whether or not some little girl really killed herself to get to heaven, the question that it prompted from atheists are no less valid. As near as I can tell, the whole afterlife thing is the only real feature religion has left to sell, that and intermittent divine key location. And as much as people seem to love the concept of an afterlife, it's a sex in the shower kind of thing. It sounds good until you start actually thinking about it. And the Facebook arguments bore this out. Most of them went something like this. The atheist would say, well, if the little girl got to be with her dad, wasn't suicide the right choice? And the theist would counter with some theological minutia. They'd say, no, because suicide is a mortal sin. To which the atheist would reply, okay, so God sent this little girl to hell for eternity because she missed her dad? To which the theist would change the subject, commit a gross logical fallacy, or criticize the atheist's spelling and or punctuation. Of course, none of this matters because there was no little girl, there is no God, and there is no heaven, but that doesn't spackle over the logical gap. Now, some of the debates, of course, were more utilitarian. Some people argued for the value of simply believing in heaven, whether it existed or not, and thus avoided the delicate little girl roasting in hellfire problem by framing this as a question of improper theological education. If somebody had told her that suicide was a mortal sin beforehand, she'd never even have considered it. All right, well, maybe that's true. Probably not, but maybe. But how comforting is that to a little girl whose dad shot himself? What do you tell her? Don't worry, sweetheart. Someday you'll get bi-curious. Then you get to burn in hell with him. I'm sick and tired of listening to people argue the merits of a belief in the afterlife. It's an absurd concept no matter how you try to spin it. And what's more, it makes it harder to deal with the reality that dead people are just dead. That's usually the hardest thing anybody's ever going to have to deal with, so you're probably just better off trying to deal with it right away rather than cheesecloth-ing over it with fairy tales until it blows up in your face. One way or the other, death is hard to deal with, and like most things, rampant illogical bullshit doesn't make it any easier. The cold comfort of thinking about grandma looking down from heaven dries up pretty quick when you're lubing a dildo. And the cold comfort of your own immortality dries up when you think about a heaven run by some asshole that has a perfectly good paradise elsewhere, but put us here instead.
They're talking about your Jesus.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Joining me for headlines tonight is the third member of our two-man triumvirate, Heath Enright. Heath, are you ready to virate?
Sure, why not? The ladies love girthy things like myself that virate.
All right, then. In our lead story tonight, an Egyptian atheist was arrested this week for existing. According to a report from Aram Online, a 20-year-old student in the Suez city of Ismailia was arrested after allegedly starting an atheist group on Facebook.
But I thought the CIA installed an atheist Jewish government after causing Arab Spring. That was the whole point.
Right, that's what the NSA transcripts say, but apparently not. Now, this would not mark the first time the Egyptian judicial system has responded to illegal use of emoticons. In December of last year, atheist activist Albert Sabir was sentenced to 3 years in jail for sharing a link on the online film critical of Islam.
What did they want him to do? Post links of all the pro-Islam movies currently pouring out of Hollywood?
You mean like Obama's home movies?
Ramadani Brasco?
Water Boardwalk Empire?
Almost Famous.
Anyway.
Rape fear.
Oh, nice.
They're definitely afraid of that there. Anyway.
Anyway, in their continuing effort to make sure the days of the pharaohs remain the high point in Egyptian civilization, the nation boasts draconian blasphemy laws that make, quote, offending religion in any form, unquote, punishable by as many as 6 years in prison or 2 years in service against the Roman legions.
And from the saviors not murdered by Jews file, Jesus. The Jews did not murder Jesus. However, according to a 2013 survey, only 75% of Americans are willing to believe the Jewish alibi on this one, which says, quote, none of us are 2,000-year-old former citizens of ancient Rome, fucking obviously. Strangely enough, the remaining 25% tend to be anti-Semitic.
No way.
Despite the fact that, as far as they know, the Jews killed Jesus for their sins.
Right.
I mean, I think a modicum of gratitude is in order here,
right,
if anything.
Right, right. That's the overlooked part of this whole thing. Sure, Jesus died for their sins, but everybody involved was playing some necessary role in God's divine plan. Where's the love for the guy who made the crown of thorns or the carpenter that put the cross together? What would they wear around their necks? And fuck, I mean, it's not like that cat of nine tails was just going to clean the chunks of flesh out of itself.
Indeed, historians and other literate people like yourself point out that the Jewish people were slaves in Rome at the time of Jesus' death, and generally slave populations had little control over government execution policy, as evidenced by the fact that Jewish slaves were getting executed all the time. Despite this and several other instances of the Jews not murdering people, and one huge instance of the opposite, many Americans still carry anti-Semitic attitudes.
You know, in preparation for this story, I actually made the mistake of typing 20% of Americans think into the Google search bar. It's the most depressing autocomplete you will ever see.
I got 25% of Americans think Sherlock Holmes is a real character, and 25% of Americans think healthcare and prayer are equal.
Yes, I got that one as well.
Yeah, that was reasonable. And my first example from the study says about 25%, an equal 25% of people in this country believe, quote, Jews still talk too much about what happened to them in the Holocaust, end quote.
6 million little cases of murder and they're bitching for a century. Jews.
Gotta figure lots of these anti-Semites are Bible Belters, right? Do you really get a lot of 90-year-old German Jews jogging up next to you in the park in rural Arkansas? You're just trying to do some cardio and they won't stop blabbing on about surviving genocide way back when. You working up a good sweat over there? I'm Auschwitzing like a pig over here. Shut up, Saul. Actually, okay, that's pretty funny. You can say the Auschwitz joke because you're Jew. Look, I don't have time to make Holocaust puns with you again. I got to run. All right, I guess we should put 30 seconds on the clock.
No, we will not be putting 30 seconds on the clock for a Holocaust pun segment. Moving on. And from the What's the Motto with You file tonight, a bill that would put the words "In God We Trust" in every public school in the state has passed through the Pennsylvania Education Committee, reminding atheists and secularists everywhere that rednecks don't only live in the South.
Those rednecks do spread quickly. They fuck like rabbits. Like ignorant, incestuous rabbits.
Dude,
fuck.
Some of them just fuck rabbits.
Even better.
Anyway, the bill sponsor, an amputated testicle joke on a tee, Rick Saccone, points out that the measure would promote patriotism by reminding school kids that America was founded by the same oppressively religious assholes they had in the rest of the world back then.
Saccone.
9 of the 23 members of the committee opposed the bill on the grounds that it would cost money and is stupid, but supporters point out that, quote, them motherfuckers are a bunch of godless commies.
Yeah, it's got to be the lack of creationist visual aids in schools that's leading to all the rampant atheism. Kids don't trust things unless they have lots of posters with vague, unexplained platitudes on them. That's what kids like.
Saccone also points out this will help draw attention to the little-known fact that the Red Scare-inspired change in the nation's motto wasn't proposed by just any irrational, divisive, nugatory, reactionary, hysterical, twaddling tit. It was a Pennsylvanian one.
And speaking of propaganda mongers with semi-amputated testicles, there was talk of semi-amputated testicle jokes earlier, and I'm not going to skip over that. Richard Saccone, a.k.a. Dick Halfsack, a.k.a. Only One Kenobi, started his political career at the Ministry of Truth in Oceania during the mid-80s, beginning of Reagan's first term, something around 1984, I believe. And moving on to Found My Soulmate news. Area woman celebrated Halloween dressed as a bloodied Boston Marathon runner. According to my research and her Twitter handle, I just need to look for, quote, some skank in Michigan named Alicia Ann Lynch to find my soulmate.
And as a native-born Michigander, I can tell you, we have the best skanks.
Apparently. I mean, she's perfect for me, right? I mean, female, 22, self-proclaimed skank, check, check, check. And she's got to have the best cringeworthy sense of humor ever.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Close second place, by the way, in the cringeworthy humor contest goes to the accidentally hilarious Lisa in Dallas, who tried to angrily respond to Lynch by saying, quote, wow, if she has kids, would she put them in bloodied Sandy Hook shirts? Oh, fucking priceless.
Inadvertently giving Heath Enright a reason to procreate.
Indeed, Alicia Lynch, and or Lisa in Dallas for that matter, I hereby offer to impregnate you, both of you, have those kids, and dress them up like Lisa suggests, just so we could take the most offensive and also hilarious family photo of all time. I'm not suggesting the events themselves are funny. Well, I am, but I'm not suggesting you should think the events themselves are funny. But when combined with a holiday about death juxtaposed with children in funny costumes, I can't help but avoid a chuckle here. I mean, honestly, hand on a Bible, most people in Boston would trade a minor explosion at a marathon for a Red Sox World Series day. We're just being honest.
Dude, isn't it a little too soon for World Series jokes?
Yeah, good point. I hate the fucking Red Sox.
And in the Abstain-O-Lantern news tonight, a Christian asshole took it upon herself to ruin Halloween for some neighborhood kids when she chose to augment their traditional candy by stapling it to graphic anti-abortion propaganda.
Really? Because nothing goes together like Halloween candy, staples, and dead kids?
Oh, fuck.
Let's get some small pieces of metal in there with some dead babies. That'll make for a nice holiday for the kids.
Well, certainly nothing would appetize an atheist more than pictures of aborted fetuses. But a number of the parents in the New Mexico neighborhood were shocked. The woman who handed out the dead baby menus defended her action by reminding people that it's okay to be a bitch as long as Jesus.
Right.
All right, 30 seconds on the clock. Baby-based Halloween candies.
We're doing it. We're doing it for real. Okay. Baby-based Halloween candies. Fetus pieces. No. Sugar baby killers. Sugar baby killers.
All right. Embryo Ruth bars.
Nice. I guess the miniatures are called test tube baby Ruth.
Or how about Kid Cats?
Nice. Break me off a piece of that, kid. Stem and M cells.
Nice.
Stem and M
nice.
Cells.
Spreenies.
Spreenies? That's so fucking mean. Awesome. Cadbury ova? Cadbury fertilized eggs. No. Cadbury egg drop soup. And that's a callback. If you weren't listening last week, I'm describing candied abortions.
All right. Well, this one's not a candy technically, but afterwards you could have some infanticider to drink.
Okay. It's coming up on winter. What about some nice atheist hot beverages then? Swiss miscarriage hot chocolate. Oh, that would be something we would all love. And as we often do, we'll move on quickly what's the worst that could happen news, where several drunken rednecks went wandering into the woods at night with rifles hoping to murder a mythical Yeti. What's the worst that could happen?
I see where this is going, I think.
So here's what did happen when they saw what appeared to be a large bearded human with a blaze orange jacket. They did what any former vice president would do and shot him.
Well, what could that human-shaped thing in the dark be if not a Bigfoot?
Yeah, apparently they initially told the 911 dispatcher that he'd been gored by a unicorn in combat, but when she expressed mild doubt, they were forced to tell something closer to the truth. So they explained how they needed replacement cryptozoological hair for the core of their magic Harry Potter wands.
I also love that the news report ends with the sentence, "It is not yet known if drugs or alcohol played any part in this accident."
Does it really fucking matter?
For the sake of my faith in humanity, both drugs and alcohol better have played a fucking role in it.
They better hope. Unfortunately, the story does not have a happy ending, though. In what can only be described as a Darwin Award snub, the wounded Sasquatch wrangler is expected to fucking survive.
Damn
so,
it.
You know.
And in them merry gentlemen are probably fags, too, news tonight. Greeting card behemoth, an indefatigable generator of trivial holidays Hallmark, is dodging accusations of homophobia this week after releasing a Christmas ornament that rewrites the lyrics to Deck the Halls to take out that offensive reference to assless chaps.
What happened? Did Hallmark find out that Yuletide Carol is actually the name of a transgender holiday-themed prostitute on my block? Because I guess that would be embarrassing for them. Oh, no, obviously. Obviously, it's the line before that.
Right.
It's going to say, "Don, we now are homosexual apparel," to be politically correct.
Worse. Actually, okay. The sweater-shaped ornament has the words, "Don, we now are fun apparel," emblazoned across
it. That's so much more gay than homosexual apparel. Anyway.
Well, and it's also like the gayest fucking sweater you can possibly imagine. So clearly they don't hate gays across the board or anything.
Right. It's only for the one holiday. It's like how white people are allowed to use the N-word on Christmas morning. Certain hours, and then Christians are allowed to use homophobic slurs later that afternoon during certain hours. There's a holiday hate schedule. It's in place. It generally works. You gotta stick to it.
A representative for the company explained that the song dates back to the 1880s, way before gay meant having butt sex, adding, quote, "Today it has multiple meanings, which we thought could leave our intent open to misinterpretation." So apparently the representatives for Hallmark think that many of their customers have assumed this whole time that those carolers were singing about anal beads and strap-ons.
Well, certain apparel, gay or straight, was really put in there to be removed. So, I'm talking about pulling the anal beads
yes,
out.
Yes, I got
okay,
that,
yes. Or the strap-on, either way. Moving on, in hexacosioi hexaconta hexaphobia news, the Christianity brainwash process caused a high school cross-country runner to drop out of a race.
Aww.
Yeah, the satanic cult that runs the Whitley County, Kentucky school system insisted that she wear Antichrist propaganda in the form of a bib with the number 666 on it, also known as the Beelzebib, affectionately yeah. In Whitley County, Kentucky.
Right. Student and amateur biblical numerologist Gina Crowley explained her decision by saying, quote, "I didn't want to risk my relationship with God."
Yeah, you got to be careful about it.
Yeah, because he's sitting up there at the end going, "Help the poor, check. Kept my commandments, check. Didn't mix fibers, check. Never randomly fell the number 666 in a numerical..." Wait a minute.
And when asked why she didn't just flip it to 999
or
pencil in a .1 or a negative sign. I mean, a lot of options here. When asked about that, her church spokesman that I made up replied, "Satan's not that stupid. And it's not like this is entirely arbitrary either. We hate any homo digital number that's equal to the summation of the integers from 1 to the square of that digit." End quote. Fun way to scare away Christians either way, I guess, though. You know, don't make me add up the numbers on this roulette wheel. I'll fucking do it. 34 plus 35 equals, I'll fucking do it. 10100110 in binary, fuckers. Stay back. Stay back.
All right. Well, what better to end on than a long list of math jokes? That's going to do it for headlines tonight. Heath, thanks as always for being a part of it.
Skepticism.
And when we come back, Lucinda will join us to reluctantly say penises 3 times in a single sentence.
Atheist weather. Penis, penis, penis.
Welcome back to the Scathing Atheist Home Shopping Network, America's number one source for Scathing Atheist logo merchandise. Heath, what's our next item?
Next up is this lovely Scathing Atheist logo men's V-neck t-shirt. This 100% soft cotton tee is perfect for beaches, parks, outdoor sporting events, anywhere you normally wear clothes, really. And it's available in 5 sizes, so you can collect them all.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, this t-shirt has been scientifically proven to increase your balance, sexual stamina, and white blood cell count. Isn't that right?
Yes, if you're not mistaken, those things are true.
And how much are we selling these t-shirts for today, Heath?
That's a great question, because I'm sure our listeners have seen similar shirts in Fifth Avenue boutiques selling for hundreds, if not millions of dollars. But we have a special indefinite day offer where our listeners can get them for one easy payment of only $23.99.
Obviously, you've misspoken, as the price you quoted is clearly less than a tenth of the value of this amazing upper body garment. I'm sure you didn't mean only $23.99.
No, you heard me right. We're practically giving these shirts away.
Well, that price is far too low for me to believe anything you have to say about these t-shirts, so let's move on to the next item.
Sure. Next up, we've got a rugged and durable hard plastic Scathing Atheist logo iPhone case with a polished finish.
Ooh. I have to tell you, that's so beautiful, I'm erect. I'm literally having trouble not dry humping it at this very moment.
I have one inside me right now. This iPhone case has been clinically tested to improve weight loss, regrow hair, improve athletic performance, and nestle comfortably in your duodenum.
And how did those clinical tests come out?
They were brought to completion, as was I, via prostate, by the iPhone case.
Excellent. You know, that's such an aesthetically pleasing iPhone case that I couldn't help but buy 3 of them this morning, even though I don't own an iPhone.
Well, that's not a problem. We also have them available for iPads, iPad minis, Galaxy phones, Kindles, and more.
Yeah, but they don't all have that beautiful Scathing Atheist logo design on the back, do they?
They do.
Wow, that must cost at least $355.
Actually, believe it or not, these phone covers start as low as $20.39.
Holy shit, that's under $20.40. I'm starting to doubt your integrity.
I get that a lot at these ridiculous prices.
So you're telling me that I can protect my phone from scratches.
That's right.
Dings.
Uh-huh.
Scuffs.
Yep.
And drops.
That's correct.
And I can proudly display my filthy monkey heritage at the same time.
I know. It sounds too good to be true, but because of a once-in-a-lifetime astronomical convergence, we're able to offer these state-of-the-art phone and tablet covers for a steal. Like many an eponymous retailer, we've gone crazy and started slashing prices.
Wow, who'd have ever thought I could finish all my holiday shopping so quickly? But as amazing as this deal is, I can see one problem with it.
What's that, Noah?
Well, I can already hear some of our listeners at home saying I really want that lovely iPhone cover, but I don't want to cover an iPhone with it so much as I want to cover myself with it. And I don't want it to be made of hard plastic so much as a poly-cotton blend. And I wish it had a hood. It's a shame we have nothing to offer those listeners.
We do.
We do?
Well, how about this lovely Scathing Atheist logo pullover hoodie for only $41.99? Or this fitted lady zipper hoodie for only $32.39?
Is that the correct price, or are you suffering from some rare form of mathematical insanity?
I know, these prices are far too low to be accepted on faith, but you can verify them all by going to cafepress.com/scathingatheist, and you'll see that my mental faculties are still in working order.
Wow, I suppose I'll have to log onto that website or check the homepage at scathingatheist.com for a handy link immediately.
So will everyone listening, I'm sure.
Well, assuming that all our listeners are discerning shoppers with a keen sense of value. Oh, and weren't you saying something earlier about free shipping?
No, I was not.
Run, grab the youngins, folks. It's time for Lucinda Lusion's Bible Stories for Kids.
Gather round, boys and girls. Today we're going to open our Bibles to the book of Judges and learn about one of the most important women in the whole book. She was so important that the whole nation of Israel went to war over her, and all she had to do was get raped to death and dismembered. We don't know her name, but we'll call her Terry. She was a concubine, which is kind of like a combination between a wife and a slave. And one day the man that owned her made her mad, so she went home to her parents. After a few months of trying unsuccessfully to lick his own balls, he decided to go and get her, because after all he did own her. So he went and got her, but on the way back to his house they found themselves in a town called Gibeah. They'd never been there before. It was getting dark, and they didn't have anywhere to sleep, so they were really scared. But luckily a nice old man came across them and let them stay at his house. He gave them food and something to drink, but right before they were about to put on their pajamas, there was a knock on the door. "Who is it?" the old man asked. The voice on the other side of the door answered, "A violent rape gang." Now suddenly everybody got very scared because violent rape gangs like to force their penises into places where you'd rather not have penises, and nobody in the house wanted any penises in them. "What do you want?" the old man asked, and the violent rape gang answered back, "You brought a man into your house tonight. Send him outside so that we may know him." And when they say know him, they meant fuck him. And when I say fuck him, I mean forcibly penetrate his rectum with their engorged, throbbing cocks. And when I say rectum, I mean butthole. But the man inside didn't want to have his butthole forcibly penetrated, so he turned to the old man and asked what they could do. "I don't know," the old man said. "They're not going to go away until they have somebody to violently rape." And the man gave a big sigh of relief. He was afraid he would have to be raped, but luckily he had Terry there to get raped for him. So he and the old man pushed her out the door, and the violent rape gang went to work violently gang-raping her. And that was very rude, because the sounds of her being brutally violated to death made it really hard for the other two men to sleep. Eventually the gang got bored and stopped raping her, so she tried to crawl her way back to the house, but her intravaginal hemorrhaging was too severe, so she only made it to the porch before she died. The next morning her husband/owner got up and rubbed his eyes, ready to finish his journey home. He thanked the old man and then went outside to get his fuck slave. He saw her laying on the porch and thought that she must be really lazy to still be asleep so late in the morning, so he kicked her a couple of times to wake her up. And when he realized that she was actually dead, he was extremely annoyed. How was he supposed to fuck her now? So he did the logical thing. He chopped her into little pieces and mailed the bleeding hunks of her body all over the nation so that people could see how mean the people of Gibeah were. So all the people in Israel decided to end the violence by massacring all the men, women, and children that lived in Gibeah, even the ones that didn't have anything to do with gang-raping Terry. And pretty much nobody lived happily ever after. The end.
Before we cash the bowl tonight, I wanted to congratulate friend of the show Thomas from Thomas and the Bible on reaching the 100 episode milestone. If you haven't checked out his show yet, go ahead and do that, and when you do, you're going to be happy to know that there are 99 archival episodes to keep you entertained. I also wanted to remind everybody that I'm always looking for more Farnsworth quotes to open the show. I've got a few stockpiled, but I can never have enough, so if you have a blog, a podcast, or a convention that you want to plug, check out the contact page on scathingatheist.com and send me some Farnsworth, damn it. Oh, and huge thanks to everybody who listens to the show on Stitcher as well. We actually cracked the top 10 in our category last week, and it's worth noting that they don't have an atheism category, so we're top 10 in all of the religion and inspirational shows over there. That means we're competing with the likes of Joel Osteen, Joyce Myers, and my arch nemesis, Creflo Dollar. So thanks again for making that happen, and if you haven't checked us out on Stitcher yet, download the free app, check us out there, and push us up a little higher. After all, if Joel Osteen's prosperity gospel is correct and we succeed, that's proof that God's an atheist. I also need to thank Lucinda for opening and closing the show this week. I need to thank Heath for all the stuff he did in the middle. Of course, I've got to thank Remy G for the Farnsworth quote, and I know it's a repeat, but the last time we played his Farnsworth quote, Facebook shut him down the next day. His Facebook page is back with a vengeance, so I figured I'd toss him a plug now that it matters once again. So once again, the name of the Facebook page is Fuck Your Fucking God, You Ignorant, Blinded, Dumb Fuck, and that really says it all. If you don't want to type all that shit into the search bar, but you still want to like his page, fear not, there will be a handy link on the show notes for this episode. But most of all, of course, I need to thank this week's most intellectually sound arguments for the continued existence of our species, Vinny, Karen, Laura, Gregory, April, Emily, Brian, BCD, and Kat. Vinny, whose brilliance shines so brightly it can only be viewed by poking a hole in a piece of paper and then observing its shadow. Karen, whose strength of will is measured in horsepower per second squared. Laura, whose name strikes fear in the hearts of pirates across the seven seas. Gregory, whose return was prophesied centuries ago by the great seers. April, whose praiseworthiness should really just be a weekly segment on this show. Emily, whose NSA transcripts inspired the Dos Equis ad campaign. Brian, whose gravitas makes people rethink the long-standing no worldwide imperial dictators rule. BCD, who kept beta through Psy and only let God have those fringe letters, and Kat, who is a ninja decimating genius with a giant penis and everything, but would much rather I spent this time wishing a happy belated birthday to his friend and friend of the show, Bruce. So Bruce, happy birthday, may there be many more, and I hope you celebrated with the traditional baby-shaped atheist cake. These nine noble individuals have improved the plight of impoverished people around the world this week by supporting a message of reason, secularism, and fart jokes, an act also known as giving us money. Not everybody has the deeply forged passion for human excellence required to give us money, but if you think you share Vinny, Karen, Laura, Gregory, April, Emily, Brian, BCD, and Kat's commitment to hominid longevity, or you just want to hear me make a joke about how many ninjas you can kill with your dick, you'll find the donate button on the right side of the page at scathingatheist.com.
And if that's too much to ask, we humbly request that you take a few seconds to leave us a glowing review on iTunes, share our stuff wherever you can do that without getting stoned to death, and tell your pastor about the show. If you have questions, comments, or death threats, you'll find all the contact info on the contact page at scathingatheist.com. All the music used in this episode was written and performed by yours truly, and yes, I did have my permission. Oh shit, there wasn't a single Kevin Smith reference in this entire show.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.